Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Shut Up and Teach podcast. I'm your host, Elijah Carbajal. As a teacher, I know how important it is to stay informed and inspired, and that's one reason why I started this podcast. On the Shut Up and Teach podcast, we have honest conversations and purposeful reflections on all things educational, with the goal of inspiring you to take action in your classroom. Whether you're a new teacher just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, we've got you covered. If it's educational related, we're going to talk about it. So be sure to hit that like and subscribe button so that you can stay updated when new content is released. Now, it's time to shut up and teach.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Shut Up and Teach podcast. If this is your first time joining, I want to say welcome and thank you. It's nice to have you in this space. And if you are returning, if you're a repeat listener, I just want to say thank you for your continued support. On this interview, I talked to Josh Tovar. Josh is a proud son of Virginia and Jesus Tovar, who immigrated from Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico in the late 1970s. Josh was raised in El Paso, Texas, where he faced adversity as an emergent bilingual student who graduated at the bottom of his high school class. But Josh knew that there was more for him in life. So, after enlisting in the military, the United States Marines, and after attending artillery school, he began attending UTEP, where he earned a bachelor's degree in history and a minor in education. Josh has been serving in the educational field for the last 32 years and has worked at every level from pre-K all the way to the university level. Josh is currently the proud principal of Memorial Pathway Academy in Garland, Texas, which supports EB students and those who might fall through the cracks in a comprehensive high school. Josh is the proud father of Cashew, Aaron, and Matthew, and he has been supported and married to Bernice. I asked Josh some pretty hard-hitting questions on this episode, and he gave me some real honest answers, which I know you're going to appreciate. So without further ado, let's get to our episode with Josh Tovar. All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to the Shut Up and Teach podcast. And what is up? Welcome, Josh. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you for inviting me. You know, being up at, yes, you know, I've been a follower of yours. I always promote the things that you put out there, your drive, your motivation, your gym work, but most importantly, your connection to your kids, your fabulous book. And I'm honored that you even think that I could walk in this path with you on this podcast. I appreciate that. Things are going great. Josh Tovar, proud principal of Memorial Pathway Academy in Garland, ISD, Garland, USA, ready to rock and roll right here with my compadre, Elijah from New Mexico.
All right, dude. I love the energy you're bringing. This is awesome. So, Josh, thank you so much for being on the show. Could you take a moment now to tell our listeners about your educational evolution?
Well, I'm a proud immigrant to the United States from Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico, a neighbor of New Mexico. And we crossed over in the late 70s. And as you know, I'm an EB student. I don't know what I am. I'm EB, ELL, LEP. I don't know. They've changed my title so much. I'm tired of it. I'm sticking to EB right now because that's the current trend. I'm a product of the Burgess High School system in El Paso. And I was not the best of students in the world. No, I was pretty much a horrible, disgusting high school student. And so one thing that allowed me to maintain my focus to the stage that I'm in right now is that I needed to be broken down and been picked up again, which was the United States Marine Corps. What led to me was I was that troubled youth that all of us face in the classroom, especially now, America, especially now. There's a lot of us EB kids in Iowa, in New York, in Boston. And a lot of them are what I faced was separation. My parents got divorced at an early age. And you know what we did? We rebelled. I rebelled. And so I cannot learn A squared plus B squared equals C squared when I'm worried about my parents not being at home. And I started to self-medicate. And I had a horrible high school experience. I graduated at the bottom of my class. I was not a very good academic, which still affects me today. So for all those educators out there, I have 3 masters, a superintendency, coursework, and I'm still the last principal to read articles. So let me present that out to you. If you're not listening, I'm an EB student still. I was a poor student in high school. I've got three masters. One of them is in history. You know how hard it is to get a master's in history? I'm still the last one to read when I have all the principals around. And so keep all those things in the back of my mind, because this is a ripple effect of time. And knowing all my faults and my flaws, I joined the United States Marines. And from there, I got the GI Bill and went through the reserve and became a history teacher. Because one of the things that my mom would do whenever she would come to school in the United States, she was a recipient of a scholarship through the Methodist Church at Lita Patterson Institute. And she would drop us off at the El Paso Public Library. And one of the things that I gravitated to were the conquistadores, the books about Cortez, Balboa, Cabeza de Vaca, Vasco de Gama, and all those. Cause I like the adventure, the fighting, the wars. And from that point on, that's the only thing that really hooked me in. I had horrible history teachers, but I felt that I could convey that message to others about the joy of what it is, what attracted me to history. So I became a history teacher. I've been in service of kids, supporting team members in the classroom for 32 years. Elijah, I'm an old man, brother. I'm an old man. I've taught in three districts, two cities, and this is my 13th school. So I bring a lot to the table in regards to experience. I've taught from pre-K. I've been an administrator at the pre-K level, and I've taught at the master's level at the University of Phoenix, Park University, El Paso Community College. So the Lord has blessed me to see the whole gamut of education, from pre-K mamas all the way to that university, that person that's working in their college degree, taking history classes at night at El Paso Community College. And it's been a wild ride. I've been in administration for over 20 years, a teacher for 10 years. And it's a joy. It's a blessing to have experienced two cities, three districts. And it's one of those things that I've learned one thing, and I put this out there to your audience. The longer I've been in the business, the more I understand that I don't know nothing. Because of everything that I've experienced, the more that I shift, the more that I move, the more different stages that have been in my life, the more that I know, I don't know anything. If you take the knowledge that I've gained, and you know this because we're neighbors in El Paso and New Mexico, and El Paso and Las Cruces, totally different countries. They're countries. You're like, what do you mean countries? Because if you live in El Paso, you cannot compare to Las Cruces. You can't compare to Santa Fe. You cannot compare. I'm having a regional discussion here with our host. And if I take that knowledge and I move it to North Dallas, it doesn't compare.
Mm-hmm.
And people say kids are kids. Yeah, but it's how you fold and find a niche in your talent, in your skills to connect with not only the adults, but the kids of that area. You and I know one thing, Elijah. You know about El Paso. It's all Mexicans. It's a utopian society there. Now move me from El Paso to North Dallas, where it's African-Americans, Asian, Pacific, Islamic, all this stuff. That was a radical shift for me. I started back at base zero. I started with zero. I took whatever I had, but I had to adjust. So as educators, don't get frustrated. Use that as a great way to grow dendrites, a great way to evolve as an educator, because you have something. You have something in your heart, which is love of education, the best profession out there, the profession that creates all the other professions, public education. Mm-hmm. And it's about bringing that love. But that is universal. If the kids know that you're connecting with them, it doesn't matter if it's Vietnam, if it's Cambodia, if it's Africa, Sierra Leone, El Salvador, Honduras, they will always walk on fire for you, because kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you, educator, can make a difference as long as you always keep that why ahead of you and you push forward, just like you find in this young man's book, in Elijah's book, about connecting with kids and loving them. And let me tell you, that's why you see those hardcore coaches on the sideline scolding their players. Or you see that band director yelling at that tuba player in the very back as he's watching the show. And you know what? That band player, that cheerleader, that football player will take it. You know why? Because they know that that sponsor, they know that that band director, they know that that football coach loves them and wants nothing but the best, because they made that connection with him. And as long as we connect with kids, they're going to love us and walk on fire for us.
Man, I love it, dude. Like, end of show right there. That's it.
No, thank you very much. Appreciate you being here. Thank you very much.
Everybody. This is a shut up and teach. No, man. Thank you. That man, you're just bringing it today. And I love your energy and your enthusiasm. So let's talk about that, because you talked about like going from one place to the other, right? And how different it can be. Right. You know, I've taught in two different cities, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I've taught in Aztec, New Mexico. Aztec, New Mexico is basically Durango, Colorado. I mean, it's like right there on the border, you know? And so there's so like you, that's a whole different culture in and of itself, moving from Albuquerque up to, you know, the upper part of the state and then back to Albuquerque again. So how do you manage that? Like, that's a, like going from one thing to the other, right? That's like culture shifts you got to adjust to. What? Right. How do you manage that? How does that look for you?
If you just remember one thing, it doesn't matter what it is, Elijah. It matters as long as you know the purpose of your mission. When the Lord allows you to wake up every morning, because not everyone's guaranteed that gift. And when you wake up that morning and you have a passion for what you're doing, not a dread. When you have your keychain and you're putting that key in the car, are you looking forward to going to that place? Are you looking forward to going and igniting a fire with those kids? It doesn't matter whether it be the custodian, the cafeteria worker, the instructional aide, the assistant principal, anybody. As long as you remember the purpose of educating the future of America, you're going to be fine. But the most important part is always to role model what you expect. As Principal Cafella says, You cannot fake the funk. You cannot say, let's do this, and then the kids see you do this. You know, there's always that meme of that big lion and the little lion next to him, the cub, and says, be careful. They're always watching. Everyone's always watching. And I always remember, what is the purpose of my being? Why am I every day clocking in, air quotes, why am I clocking in? To make sure that kid, when I hand them the stick, you know, in track they say, stick! And they pass over the stick to the next generation. What am I doing to prepare them, especially through the turmoil? And you know what? As a history teacher, there's always turmoil. Guys, there's always been pandemics. There's always been boom and bust. There's always been global wars. Just that we see it more because of this nonsense here. And as long as people have cell phones, we're going to be more up to date as compared to before. As an educator, as long as you role model the expectations, you will be fine, Elijah. When you were a classroom teacher and you were dancing with your kids, you're playing the guitar, you were role modeling excitement. That's why people saw you and said, I need you to bring that fire to the district level so you pass your beautiful love of education of kids to everybody else. That's why you, Elijah, got inspired to write a book to show that love and dedication to other educators who might need that match to start that fire again. And it all is done by the purpose, the why, and the love of what you're doing. And if you look at the mirror every single last day, that's the person's responsible for your happiness. Let me repeat that again. Every day you look at that mirror, you're responsible for your happiness. And if you're not happy at that school, leave it. They're free agents now. You could go anywhere. We need teachers everywhere. Hey, assistant principal, if you're not happy at that school, leave it. Hey, principal, if you're not happy, leave it. Find your happy place, because if you're miserable, you create a miserable environment for those around you. So as you get those car keys, put in there an ignition, role model the expectations of love, role model the expectations of fire, role model the expectations of the next stage for whoever it is, because you will inspire somebody. And you know, Elijah, I make it a point to try to spread that. Every single last day, I try to make sure that I ignite that fire to people that I might not see every single last day. I try to send 5 to 10 texts to people around the United States just to say, hey, bro, love you, man. Go kick some butt. Because you know what? If I motivated you with a text at 8 in the morning, maybe that funk that you had will be shaken off your shoulders and you're going to go inspire that kid that needed you that morning. So it's about role modeling the expectations globally.
And folks, he's not lying, because I've been one of the recipients of those text messages at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning. And man, I got to tell you, Josh, sometimes, man, those come at the right time. Like, seriously, like, man, I needed that. Like, it, this day started off rough, or I've got this thing come that I'm going into that maybe I'm feeling a little anxious about. Maybe I'm not feeling sure of myself. And that text message from you comes in, and that encouragement that you just pour into other people. Like you said, I try to, what is it? You said 5 to 10 text messages, something like that. A simple text, like, folks, his text messages aren't long. It's, you know, it's just a quick little, hey man, keep doing what you're doing, you know, just encouragement. And Josh, I think that's so, so important that those sorts of messages come from leaders, right? I was talking with my wife about, you know, how there's a big difference right now that we're kind of seeing in the way principles principle. And so it's, you know, we had the discussion of, are they just managing or are they leading? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's management that you have to have, management skills as a principal, but you also have to lead your teachers. And I think it comes with, like, just like, it doesn't have to be big things. Like you said, it's a simple text, right? But in those things, like the big things, right? The big moments, the big scary moments, the tough decisions, right? That you have to lead. How do you approach that? Because those can be, you know, especially if it's something kind of serious, you know, you don't have to give me details or anything, but just what's your process and all that of how you lead teachers and schools and whatnot through those tough times?
Everyone's got to know that you're there. Okay. And it's finding the right mark of knowing when to get your hands dirty and when to pull back. That takes an art. That takes an art, because you have to balance. Do the team members know that I'm there? Do they know that my vision is there? But am I too over on them? Or am I too under on them? And it's such a tightrope. And it takes years. In Spanish, it's called maña. It's a tact of how you do that, because every culture is different. Every campus, how you deal with sixth grade teachers is different than you deal with sophomore teachers. How you deal with senior AP teachers is different than how you deal with pre-K teachers. So you have to have the tact. Tienes que tener la maña on how to maneuver your skill set with everybody, but always knowing that you leader, you're the one that was interviewed for that position. You chose the chair. You can't complain. And let me tell you, Elijah, soapbox time. I very much dislike administrators that complain about parents, about discipline, about going to football games, about staying away till Saturday stuff. You chose that chair. You interviewed it. You prayed to God for a second round with the superintendent so that you could get those keys. Don't complain. You wanted the chair. And part of the chair is dealing with a cheerleading mom. Part of the chair is dealing with that kid that's been in the office 5 times in the same day. Part of the chair is making sure that after you're done with that cheerleading mom that told you that you dress funny, go out there and smile to the team member that is always your opposition. The team member that's a weebie. You know who the weebies are? Have you heard of the weebies?
The weebies? Who's the weebies?
Yes. Every school has weebies. You've never heard of the weebies?
Uh-uh.
It's a small group of ankle biters that say, we be here before you, we be here after you. And so how do you manipulate, how do you work around the weebies? It's not an easy job. It's never been an easy job. And post the closures, it's become more difficult with more alt cert, with more vacancies out there, that you have to make magic when there's no more magic in the tool chest because no one has gone post the pandemic. So the thing is, leadership is a very difficult thing, and you're not here to make everyone happy. If you try to make everyone happy, you make nobody happy. If you try to make everyone happy, you make nobody happy. And if you want to make everyone happy, go sell ice cream. That's not leadership. Because ultimately, you are going to have to stand firm. You interviewed for that position. You interviewed to make that school an A school. You interviewed to make sure kids get there. And it's how you bring that magic. And it's not easy. That's why a bunch of my peers are also, peace out, fool. I'm out of here. They're getting out. Superintendents, they're getting out. Area superintendents, they're moving up. It's becoming a ripple effect. As the top leaves, then now you're getting brand new administrators who don't have la maña, don't have the tact, don't have the experience for the chair. So that's where we have a new turmoil going on. It takes a while to develop that stuff. But in the end, Elijah, leadership is one of those things that you yourself every morning got to say, I'm going to make decisions that maybe 90% don't like. But is it good for kids? Everything has to be, it's not about adult comfort. It's how students are successful.
Yeah,
let me repeat that again.
Yeah,
it's not about adult comfort. You have your degree. You have your guaranteed paycheck. During COVID, you had a guaranteed paycheck and insurance. Not our kids. We have to do everything to make sure that our kids have what we have now. So it's not about your comfort. It's about how we train them, coach them to become either CTE, either welders, cosmetologists, doctors, governors, presidents, whatever their dreams are. But we follow it. But you chilling back because you don't like this kid and you want their schedule changed. And you're going to talk trash about the principal who says, I'm not going to change the schedule. You got to stop being mean to them. Sorry. Those are the kind of decisions you sitting in the chair, you have to make because that's in the best interest of kids. Making sure that you don't rearrange everything because of that one teacher that wants to have eighth period off so they could leave early because they live real far. There's a lot of little things. And in the end, leadership is a hard thing. Not every people. Hey, everyone is that Monday morning quarterback. If I wouldn't have done that, you've heard that in the lounges, Elijah. Why were you thinking about that? I wouldn't have done that. Then why didn't you get the master's? Why didn't you apply for the job? Why didn't you go and become the leader? If you could do it better, vámonos, ándale, let's do it, baby. So in a nutshell, to tell you right there, Elijah, it's not easy being a leader, but you have to hold true to making all the decisions that are in the best interest of kids and safety for kids, not adult comfort. And you know what? That's going to win you more opposition than not. But as long as you're consistent with everything, people will always love you and respect you because you're consistent. Mm. Be consistent with what you're doing. Don't be up and down because you know you've had those leaders, Elijah. You've had those leaders, Elijah. If this is not a visual thing, my hand is going up and down like a roller coaster. No one likes that. Kids don't like that. Kids don't like that with their teachers. Yeah. Teachers don't like that with their administrators. Be consistent with what you do. And people will always say, whether they like it or not, no, he or she does that. Be consistent, be true to your why as a leader, because remember, you applied for that position. You wanted that interview. You wanted to be called an administrator. So now deal with everything that comes with it, both the paycheck and the problems.
Yeah. Man, just preach it, man. You're on a roll today. I love it. That's a big culture shift that you're recommending there, right? It's not about your teacher comfort, right? It's about what is going to be best for that student, right? And not to say that we, you know, slave away into an early grave or anything like that. It's you do what you're capable of. But again, it's not about your comfort and what's easiest for you as a teacher. It's what does this student need? That takes a culture shift. And I want to know, how do you make that shift?
You know, Elijah, we all know the ingredients to being a great teacher. And we all know the ingredients to be a great leader. But some of us don't have that one extra touch of salt. Some of us don't have that extra spice for the lasagna. We might think we are, but we're not. And it's about continuing and finding out the person in the mirror who you are. Research it. You got to compare yourself to the best. Michael Jordan never cared about the B squad. Kobe Bryant never cared about Division I champions.
No, he didn't. In fact, I'm sorry, pause for just one sec.
Go.
Because I'm reading a book about Kobe Bryant right now, listening to it on an Audible. It's called The Rise. And you're spot on with that. Kobe did not have his eyes set on college basketball. The only way, like if he had to, it was, I will play for Duke and I will play for Mike Krzyzewski. But he didn't want that. He didn't want that. He had his eyes set on the NBA right away. Yeah, exactly. Continue. I'm sorry, man. I'm just
connecting with you big time. Good. You feel me? And that's the whole thing. That's where you get in a rut. That's why one of the things that I believe in is always doing PD. And I have to role model that. You know that, Elijah. When I go to the gym, I at least listen to 3 educational podcasts. I put under my belt at least 15 per week. It validates or it tells me, hey, Josh, you got to grow on this. You got to keep on doing it. And if other leaders are doing that, that are at the third top level, I have to listen. Because I don't want to be stagnant water on the curb. I don't want to smell. And so that's the problem in our field. If you're so warm and stuck, you know, that little dove in their nest, and they huddle up and they feel comfortable in the same classroom for 10 years. And that's all they've done because that's the group of kids that they've always taught. Then you become that stagnant water. You have to know that there's more out there. So when you are the administrator and you got that Title I money and you've got those funds, send your team to Tennessee. Send them to national conferences. You need to know that there's other ways of kicking up that group of kids. As the book says, from good to great, we cannot be happy with being good. And the enemy of great is good. So if you're always a B plus, you know what? There's nothing wrong. We got a good majority of them coming out there. B plus, that's fine. No, you can be an A. And how do you do that? By making sure that the people that sit in my chair send you out to see what happens in Kentucky. See what happens in New York. Go to those conferences and do those presentations and find out, is my stuff measurable? Do I measure to Michael Jordan? In my case, am I close to Jimmy Casas? Am I close to Todd Whitaker? Am I close to Baruti Kafele? Am I close? Ken Williams. I could give you 10 billion names, right? What am I doing to walk in those footsteps of success and greatness? Because if I'm great, my kids will be great. Our staff will be great. And if we don't send our team members to taste other stuff, to see other things, to hear other conversations during those packed lunches, then they're not going to evolve and they're always going to be happy with good. And it's okay to feel uncomfortable. And you know what? Hey, educator, it's okay to fail. We tell that to our kids. It's okay to fail. Hey, fail, educator. Fail bad. But you know what? Failure is the start of success. So make sure that you take those opportunities and you ask your administrator, hey, can I go to this conference? What do you want to go to the conference? Well, because I think that I could learn this at ITSE. Hey, I think I could learn this at TASSP. Hey, I think I could learn this at AESED. All right. And then you become and you create a plan. Hey, educator. Oh, I've never done that. Hey, principal, I've never done that. So what you do, principal, take it from this old man, you get people with street cred on your campus. You don't send people that show up late to faculty meetings. You don't send the weebies that are always negative. You don't send the ones that are always sending referrals to the office. You send your runners. And once you send your runners, you say, I can't send everybody, but when you come back, I need you to present at the next PD. So that money that I use, that kid money, remember, that's kids' money. And you're sending people to Tennessee. You're sending people to Galveston, to New York, to Las Vegas maybe. And they need to bring that knowledge and not become the owners of silo knowledge. Because out of the thousands of dollars that you use on a conference, one person shouldn't get all that gain. Everyone should get that gain. And you hold them accountable. You review the workbook, you know, the logs. And you say, hey, go to this session, go to this session, and I want you to present about this session. And there you go. You used all your money, and at least if one nugget is picked up, that's one nugget more for that person to become great.
And, you know, man, it's just buy-in, you know, that you're creating at that point too, because teachers, you know, want to hear it from multiple perspectives, right? If it's one person constantly, right? If it's just the admin and admin doing their job, you know, but over time we hear that voice and it can kind of, we can start to kind of tune it out. But hey, I was sent by Josh to ISTE for the summer and beginning of the year, hey, I got 30 minutes to present or an hour to present or whatever, whole day, whatever it is that you have set up. But I'm going to share what I learned, because like you said, that's really like, that's a perspective that I haven't heard of. Why am I going to spend thousands of dollars on travel and registration and per diem for one person to hold all this knowledge, right? Like, no one is the sole keeper of knowledge at the school, right?
Exactly. Like,
you are the leader, but you have your resources on the, like you said, the street cred. You got the teachers that you can go to or send other teachers to. Oh, you need help differentiating. Oh, okay, well, I can set up a meeting with so-and-so. Let me talk to them to see if they have time to meet with you, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, you need help with, you know, whatever. Like, you are leaning on those supports as well and investing into people. And that's the thing. You're not investing into programs. You're not investing into, you know, and there's nothing wrong with frameworks or anything like that. Nothing wrong with any of that. But you're investing in the teacher, right? Because you can have the best curriculum, the best whatever, but the teacher behind it, teaching that student, making the human connection is where we're going to get the most bang for our buck. Man, exactly. I love it.
And that's exactly what I every Wednesday I've been meeting with our long-term subs and our first-year teachers. And
oh, nice.
One other thing, I do a 25-minute PD on the Fundamental Five. I'm all Sean Kane. I'm all Fundamental Five because that's what allowed me, a 6A school in El Paso with 2,500 kids, to go from a D- to a B- in 3 years, an 81% graduation rate to a 92% graduation rate in 3 years using a framework. I agree with you what it is, but it comes down to the people aspect. And when I talk to our team members on Wednesday, I let them know, you might have the best awesome Nearpod or Pear Deck. Everyone has a plan, but just like Mike Tyson said, everyone had a plan for me until they got punched in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have those relationships with those kids, that Pear Deck activity is just shot to hell by that one kid that misbehaves. So what are you doing mm-hmm. to have the street cred, not only with your peers, but in the classroom? Mm. And part of that is that I, as the person that sits in my chair, promotes it and teaches it and role models what the Fundamental Five is, an effective delivery of instruction. I also have our instructional aides part of that PD. So I incorporate everybody, because instructional aides are not go make copies. They're instructional aides. And if we promote the Fundamental Five, they need to know what the Fundamental Five and how to use that framework to engage kids. Bell to bell instruction with the start of the lesson and with the close of the lesson. And it all comes down, like you said, and I believe it's all about street cred. You know, there's a certain sadness about our field, and I have to talk about it because we need to have those conversations. What do the senior teachers say about the freshman teachers? They babied them too much. They didn't teach them how to write. What do the freshman teachers say about the eighth grade teachers? They didn't prepare them for high school. They just come in all crazy, run wild. Mm-hmm. What do the eighth grade teachers say about the sixth grade teachers? Oh my God, look at that. We get them and they don't even know how to read in eighth grade. What do the fifth grade teachers say about the kinder teachers? They didn't show them how to do their letters or do the math. And what do the teachers in kinder say about the parents? They never taught them manners.
It's a blame game.
It's all blame game. Let's get past that and know that we're dealing with humans. We're dealing with a walking variable. And we need to understand that when we're dealing with that walking variable, it comes down to Bloom's versus Maslow. And if we help Maslow, everything will be okay with Bloom's because Maslow will always beat the hell out of Bloom. Mm-hmm. So we need to engage with those kids. As administrators, we need to engage with our team members, provide professionalism, support, consistency, so they know we got their backs. Whenever they ask for something, we get that. That will in turn go down to the classroom environment. And in the big picture, the best idea at your level, Elijah, at your level working at the district, is bringing people from different areas together and say, hey, I know this guy, Josh, in seventh grade. Hey, how about you, teacher over there? Come and visit his classroom. Let's talk to your administrator because Josh rocks at doing this. Boom. Bam. You just brought street cred by seeing all of these classrooms across your district. And you brought not only the knowledge, but there's a bonding now amongst grade levels. Yeah, it's about having that, but being consistent with the role model.
What would be a synonym? Right. Same, right. And an antonym for educational leader.
Oh, man, you're going to make Josh think right now. Synonyms, the same. Educational leader. Determined. Is that one?
Is yeah, that we one? Go with that. Determined.
Can we go with that? Hey, hey, educator in Iowa, if I was wrong, please message me on Twitter. please correct me. My EB status kicks in right now. I'm going to use that as my EB paperwork on my LEP safeguards. Opposite.
Yeah. Opposite. It's opposite.
Lazy. Flojo. There's too many of us.
Yeah.
There's too many lazy administrators. Okay. There's too many whiners. They shouldn't be in the chair.
Too lazy in what regards? Like what have you seen in your experience in that sense?
Look, I could give you so many examples, but I'll walk into the most numerous one, the most prominent one. I knew what I chose to apply for. I applied for a D-minus school with all the violence, all the fights, all the tardies. I knew what I was walking into, right? Mm-hmm. And I knew that when I applied for that job and I got called for the second interview, I wanted that. I wanted a big bowl of problems. You could use that bowl for other things. So when I got that big bowl, I knew that it was not going to be easy to digest that bowl. I knew there's going to be problems and it was going to take time. Mm-hmm. And if you apply for a low-level school, insert low-level, discipline, academics, whatever you want to call it, all right? You know that you got to put in the time and you can't complain. And so there's people that complain, and we talked about this earlier, like 10 minutes ago, about not putting in the time. People, and it goes back to what I said 5 minutes ago, you have to role model. I knew that the only way that school was going to turn around was by role modeling the expectations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I had to put in 17-hour days. Almost 7 days a week. I had to be seen at everything. Sometimes you cut corners. And when you cut corners, not going to the basketball game that's a bi-district game, when you don't go see the C-squad cheerleading, when you don't go see to the art, you don't see the art competition, but you only see football, that's cutting corners. That's being lazy. Because once you go to one event and you want street cred, you better go to the majority of them. Mm-hmm. That orchestra kid better see you as much as that basketball kid. That kid in welding better see you at their CTE competition, just like the art competition. Because you start investing your time. And once that happens, it goes back to what I said earlier. You could get after them and they will be inspired because Nel. Principal Elijah, it's a dude. He's always at our stuff. Don't talk ill of him. We got to work for him. Because the kids will rise up to you. You don't have to win over the adults, Elijah. I'm telling you right now.
That's true. Yeah.
You don't have to win over the adults. Win over the kids and the adults will follow. Don't win. Administrator, don't go in there. The art teacher that's been there for 30 years, he's going to love me. No. He's a weeby. He's not going to love you. Win over the kids. That way you don't have problems. That way you don't have Josh in there three times with a referral. Win over the kids and they will follow your vision and you will have an A-rated school. Win the kids over. Don't try to win over the adults because you will never win over all the adults.
Yeah. No, that's true. Man, I love it. I love it. How do you, so like you said, it's taxing on life, right? On all that. So how do you make time for that? How do you promote time for family? How do you still carve in that sort of time for those important people, you know, that are outside of school?
Insert your variable of, I don't know. My family knew. They knew they were third.
Okay.
Sorry. The results were there. But then sooner or later, I had to determine, when am I going to stop raising someone else's kids and I work on my kids? That's why I left El Paso. I left El Paso because here in North Dallas, the school I'm at, Memorial Pathway Academy, I have no UIL events. There is no extra duty. I have no accountability with testing. We're pretty much Monday through Friday. That's it. Our two parent nights per year. So I moved from 17-hour days to being home by 5:30.
Nice.
But that meant I had to uproot my whole family from El Paso to North Dallas. I get to see my kids participate in activities. I take days off if my kids are ill because my wife can't. I become dad now. But there's times that you have to make decisions. Just like I made a decision to make my family third. Okay. Now they're first.
Yeah.
I invest all my time in them right now. And sometimes I let work catch up. And so I stay till 6:30 just to do the email nonsense. You know, the minutia of my chair, you gotta keep up with the minutia and not cut the corners with that, because then that becomes a different problem for you. But right. Elijah, there is no right answer for that, because it depends on what your tolerance level of what life is.
Mm-hmm.
And as a leader, as a teacher, you're the one that draws the line on what gives me, air quotes, sanity. Where do I draw the lines between my kids in the classroom and my kids at home? I can't answer that, because we all have a different why and we all have a different purpose.
That's a very thoughtful and just a very thoughtful answer that I appreciate. And I gotta say, just admire your like vulnerability and all that. And just, it's crazy to see like you said, it's a decision, right? You have to come to that decision yourself. They were third and I made them first, right? And looking back on it now, I'm sure you're looking and saying, maybe that was a tumultuous time maybe, but making that move now, like you said, I can see my kids every day. I can be home by 5 o'clock or, you know, occasionally late or whatever, but on the average, I'm home by 5, right? You know, that sort of thing. I'm sure you're just looking back on it and going like, man, it was worth it.
It is. I never thought in a blink of an eye I was going to be from El Paso to North Dallas. Elijah, I was never going to see an NBA game, an NHL game, an NFL being in El Paso. It's right here. It's in my area. And guess who I get to see it? With my kids, my boys. I don't get to see all these concerts because they never went to El Paso. I get to see all those major stars here in the Dallas area. On Monday, I went to go see the Wizards play the Mavericks. I would have never been able, and I paid $25 for those seats. And I got to sit there with my son. Do you understand how beautiful that is?
Yeah.
Horrible that the Wizards lost, but I got to see something with my boy. I got to see something that I would have never experienced somewhere else. And if our Lord, didn't place me here, you all have a purpose. All of us have a purpose in life. We all were born for a reason, and he's going to put us where he needs us. And you might question it, but just like you said, Elijah, 3 minutes ago, now that I look at it, that I submitted that application, that the schools closed, I took over MPA at the start of COVID, that I ran the school from El Paso and it's in North Dallas, tell me that was not the Lord's blessing that I would run a school from El Paso. It was the right time, the right place, the right thing. So if you're frustrated out there, wait. It's coming. You'll be okay. Elijah didn't think he was going to be a district personnel 2 years ago. And now he's serving his purpose across 12 schools. We all have a purpose. Just wait your time. I guarantee you, wait your time.
Yeah, yeah. I love it, man. That's awesome. Awesome. Dude, you killed it. This is a great conversation, dude. We're going to get ready to wrap up here, but I've got one final question for you here. Three-part question. So let's start with this. What are we listening to right now? What are we watching and what are we reading? So let's start with listening. What are we listening to?
Listening. As I stated earlier, I'm a podcaster. Uh-huh. If it's not podcast, just follow me on X. You'll see all the podcasts I listen to. Then I listen to Rogan, the daddy of them all, Rogan, or PBT. I mean, there's different podcasts that I just go. That's where I get my news from. That's where I get everything from. And I absorb it and take it. So YouTube is my connection to what the outside is. So that's what I'm listening to. And if not, it's 1980s heavy metal, baby. That's it. It never changes. I need me my Motley Crue. I need me my Poison. I need me my 80s metal. That's all I care about till the day I die, baby.
I love it. I love it. All right. That's what we're listening to. So what are we watching?
We are watching 1923 with my wife. It's that Kevin Costner one, but he did that prequel. It started with 1883. I think that's the first name of the show, how they got to Yellowstone. Yellowstone. I think that's what it's
that's
called.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Okay.
So right now, that's what we're watching. So okay. That's a constant thing. Nice. We do the noise on TV, you know, whatever comes on TV. We're not really much into that. But as in constant shows, we finished 1883. Then we're in 1923 with Harrison Ford. And then we're going to move up to Yellowstone to watch it, to see what the whole brouhaha is about. So those are the comments. I like seeing Bill Maher on Fridays. I like seeing his show on HBO. I like hearing both red and blue takes. I like hearing everyone's opinion out there to make sure that I'm a well-educated individual. Why do you think that way? Why do you think that way? Because you know that we're about to cast a ballot in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. Let me know what's out there. What's your vision? Why are you seeing it that way? Because you know what? As being a loyal citizen to this country, I need to know and be educated before I pull that lever.
Absolutely. All right. So that's what we're watching. Last question. What are we reading?
Right here. It's Define Your Why by Barbara Bray. Mm-hmm. Barbara Bray, Define Your Why. And not only that, there's this guy that I know that's a co-author to her second book to this. That guy's, his name is Josh Dolar and 22 other authors. And their book is coming out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
He'll be posting it out there.
Which is
the second part to this book. I won't post it out there yet, but I'm reading that. And my family, as a family, we're reading The Alchemist. We need, I think, 60 more pages. And like my high school kid reads 2 pages. I read 2 pages. My middle school kid reads. My wife reads 2 pages. So we're doing round robin, finishing that book. Nice. And I already bought the next book for the family, which is Agatha. The only book I read in middle school, Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None.
Okay. I haven't read that before. I haven't read that before.
That's the only thing that this Mexican read in middle school. So I go, if I could read it in middle school, my boys are going to read it. It was a good whodunit.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay.
It's a whodunit kind of stuff.
I love it. I love it. Josh, thank you so much. I appreciate your time today. This has been just a fabulous conversation. Motivational, encouraging, inspiring. How can our folks get connected with you?
Elijah, before I give you my handle, can I read something to you real quick that motivates me every morning?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you give me 30 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, educator. Hey, most importantly, administrator. please read this whenever you feel down. That's what I read. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give them your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It never was between you and them anyway. Mother Teresa. Don't forget that, guys. Do your why, do you. If you want to find out a little bit more, my name is Josh Tovar. I'm at MPA Gold Jaguars on X, and all my handles are that. If you want to see individual personal stuff, I'm at JT Spotlights on IG, on X. You can follow me there in our YouTube channel where I interview our Jaguars on their opinion. I give students a voice. I ask them 12 questions on how us as educators can become better teachers. And you can follow that on our YouTube channel at JT Spotlights. Check it out. Don't forget your why. Most importantly, you are doing the Lord's work. Keep educating. Keep being the best version of yourselves. I love you. Follow me. Come on board. Let's join together because we're all in it together.
Again, listeners, go check out Josh on all his platforms. Follow Josh. Follow the show. Share this episode out. And we'll see you on the next show. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Shut Up and Teach podcast. I hope that you'll check out previous episodes, and I hope that you'll share this with a friend or a colleague.